Well, what a blessing to be back tonight. I asked Brother Herford, I looked over there and saw that cooler. And I said, did I preach that long last night, brother? You brought your supper? He said, that ain't mine. Anyway, what a blessing it is to be here. And by the way, he asked what I preached on last night. Brother Hall did, while we was down there. And the pastor said, under his wings. And Brother Hall said, did he take you to the mercy seat?
Amen.
The cherubims?
Amen.
And I told my son coming back up the road, I said, no, I didn't. But if I ever preach it again, I may incorporate that point into the message as well. Wouldn't that have been a good way to have closed that out?
Amen.
Under his wings.
Amen.
God's wings. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'll invite you to turn to the psalm that talks to us about his word.
Amen.
Psalm 119. 119. I started, as we often do, I started to say Psalms chapter 119. But do you know the book of Psalms is not broke down into chapters?
Right.
If you look at it, it says Psalm 119, Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3. It's not chapters, it's Psalms.
Right.
Individual Psalms.
Right.
And so I want to look in 119, and then I want to read you one verse of Scripture. We'll pray. I'll let you be seated, and then I'll read you just a little more from the Word of God. I heard recently about somebody that it was very common for them to always read the entire chapter when a preacher. He would always read the entire chapter when he was going to preach on a particular verse.
Yes, sir.
And so one time he said, asked the congregation to stand, and he said, turn to Psalm 119. And somebody said, is he going to read all 176 verses? And I don't know where he did or not, but I'm only going to read one, and then I'll pray and let you be seated. Verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My Father, I bow before you tonight with a grateful heart again to be able to bow before you, knowing what a blessed man that I am, knowing what a blessed people we are as we gather here, and all of us that are saved, wherever we're gathering, to hear the Word of God tonight. And I'd pray, Lord, that Thy Word would be to us exactly what You said it was in the Scriptures, and I have no doubt that it will be, because it is what You say it is.
Yes.
And I ask You, dear God, tonight to help me as I preach the Word of God. Lord, I'm not worthy to even open the book and read it, much less to stand behind this sacred desk and preach it. The only reason I have any worthiness is because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
the only reason I can preach the Word of God is because You chose to call me. Why? Lord, I'll probably search eternity for the answer. But dear Lord, I thank You for the privilege to preach Your holy, infallible, inerrant Word that is Your Word. And my Father, I pray that You'll take it tonight and drive it home to our hearts, and may it find a well-resting place there, and may we be strengthened by it that are saved, and may the lost be convicted by it that they might be saved. May You be glorified, because You're worthy, and I'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, the psalmist You can tell by reading the 119th Psalm that the psalmist magnified the Word of God. You can tell that God put a great premium upon His Word. The longest psalm in the Bible, the longest word in the Bible, you find here as it talks about the Word of God.
Amen.
And then there's other places that the Bible talks about God's Word.
Sure.
Even in 176 verses, yet God's Word has not been described to us in its fullness.
Right.
And as I look at this, I want you to turn back to verse 1 of Psalm 119. And I just want to read you a few verses of Scripture. And I want you to notice the different words that are used to describe God's Word. He starts out by saying, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways." And so when I get to there, that's the first verse that maybe does not use a word to describe the Word of God. But yet, as I've studied about this, I wonder about it. I'm not sure, but what that the psalmist is describing when he says ways,
right.
I'm not sure that he's not describing the Word of God.
Right.
Look at me for a moment. We walk in this way.
Right.
Is that right? We walk in the Word of God.
Right.
So in one sense, just like the word faith, and I heard the last few statements of the pastor's message on the radio today as I was coming over here from the motel, and so I assumed that his entire message was upon faith. But we talk about faith in one sense, but then the way of God is the faith.
Right.
It's the body of truth.
Yes, sir.
And in that way, I suspect that that word ways is another way of describing God's Word.
Yes.
And so, if so, if you look in verse 1, he describes it as the law of God. And then he describes it in the second verse as His or God's testimonies. And then he describes it in verse 3 as His ways. And it describes it in verse 4 as Thy precepts. And it describes it in verse 5 as Thy statutes, and it describes it in verse 6 as Thy commandments, and it describes it in verse 7 as Thy judgments. And so in the first 7 verses of Psalm 119, God's Word is described in 7 different ways.
Right.
Now, then it begins to repeat. Verse 8 talks about Thy statutes. Verse 9 talks about Thy Word. And that Thy Word is the 8th description of the Word of God. As you look at, 8 different ways that He has described His Word. And over, as you go through the 176 verses of Psalm 119, he just keeps talking about His Word.
Amen.
He talks about how that we are blessed.
Yes.
How that we are blessed when we walk in the law of the Lord.
Right.
He talks about how we're blessed when we keep His testimonies. And He talks about how, again, that when we walk in His ways, He said they'll do no iniquity. And He talks about how that that God has commanded us to keep His precepts diligently. You see how He's adding to those things, walking, keeping, all of these things. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when? When my ways are directed to keep God's statutes.
Right.
Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments.
Amen.
I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned of thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherein shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy words. That's reading the first 16 verses. And those first 16 verses is the first division of the 119th Psalm. There's 22 parts in the 119th Psalm. These different parts, each one of them, correspond to a Hebrew alphabet.
Right.
And if you want to know what the first one is, look at the heading. And if you want to know what the second one is, look at it. It's been too long since I took Greek to name all of these. I probably couldn't have done it back then. But each one of them pertains to a letter of the alphabet. And you remember God said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And Alpha is the first letter in the Greek language pertaining to our A, if you would. I mean, the way that we have our alphabet. But now, I want to preach to you tonight from this scripture. And my thought is the difference the Word of God makes. Or I might even say it like this. The difference God's Word can make in our lives.
Amen.
And if I could just stop for just a moment and put this in parenthesis. I found out I made a mistake last night. They said I kept saying passenger pigeon. And what I was talking about was a carrier pigeon. And of course my son said, they probably knew that that pigeon was not carrying passengers. But I preached that whole message and did not realize that I used the word passenger rather than carrier pigeon. All right. Now, back to the message tonight. The difference the Word of God can make. What are you talking about, preacher? The difference the Word of God can make in a person's life. Can I tell you today, without the Word of God, we would not know that we had sin.
Right.
That's why the law was given.
Right.
we would not know that we are a sinner.
Right.
I think I told the story the other night about a little Sunday school boy that was in my wife's class, and she was trying to teach them that God loved everybody. And one of the little boys said God doesn't love Indians. He'd watched too many cowboy and Indian movies, and he said Indians kill the white man. And then the other one said God doesn't love Germans because the Germans kill the Jews. And my wife's trying to get it across to him that it's not because of how you act that God loves you. He loves you even when you do wrong things.
Right.
And she asked him, said, does your grandmother love you? And he said, oh yeah. And she said, does your grandma love you when you do wrong or do bad things? And how'd he say it? You say to him? Did she love you when you were bad? And he said, oh no, I ain't never been bad. And so without the Word of God, we would not know that we're sinners.
Right.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
We would not know that we had sin.
Right.
And because that we sin, that we're sinners.
Right.
Without the Word of God, sinners would not know that they could be saved.
Right.
What if you just had the part of the Word of God that said you're a sinner and no sinner can approach God? You cannot come to God with sin. God's a holy God, and God will not look upon sin. What if you only had that part of the Word of God? But thank God He didn't stop there. He kept on describing in His Word, letting us know about what He is and how He is and who He is. And friends, today we learn then that the sinner, although condemned by their sin, can be forgiven.
Yes.
Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They can have forgiveness of their sins. They can escape the penalty of their sin because Jesus has already paid the price.
Yes.
On the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
I have said it, and we sometimes hear it said that a person goes to hell and they pay for their sins in eternity, but they don't. The only payment that God ever accepted was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing God ever accepted was what Jesus did on the cross. Nothing else. Nothing else. Paul said, if I gave my body to be burned and different things like that, what would it, you know, if we gave everything we had, if we did everything we could do, we'll still die lost. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Had the Lord Jesus Christ not died on the cross of Calvary, we would have no hope in this life or the life to come. Thank God today, though the Bible tells about salvation, it does give us that. He just kept on telling us about His love for us. Romans 5:12, I probably quote that more than any other verse in the Bible. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, without the Word of God, we would not know that we were a sinner, that we would not know that we sinned. Without the Word of God, we would not know that we are a sinner. Without the Word of God, we would not know that we could be saved.
Amen.
And without the Word of God, even if we were saved, we would not know that we're secure in Christ.
Right.
Our feelings does not secure us in Christ.
Amen.
It is what the Word of God says.
Right. Amen.
I was in Nebraska at a meeting probably 22 or 3 years ago, and I did not know except I believe one person in the meeting, and there was a number of preachers there, and this man had learned that my name was Plato, and he walked up to me and stood right in my face, and he said, Plato, The philosopher, he said, "Brother, give me a word of wisdom." And I've got a little bit of a mean streak in me sometimes, you know. And I didn't crack a smile. I'd never met the man before in my life. I didn't crack a smile. I just looked at him right in the face, just as serious as I could. And I said, "The ringing of the nose bringeth forth blood." And that man just kind of breathed in a deep breath and began to step back like this. And I burst out laughing. And then we had a conversation. The Word of God is good for a lot of things. And I praise the Lord for His Word. He's let us know that we're a sinner because we sin. And He let us know that He's a Savior and that He'll save all that will come to Him in repentance. And then He lets us know when we're saved that we are saved so we can shout.
Amen.
If you wanted another S to go with those. That we can rejoice in the Lord.
Yes.
And it all happened because He gave us His Word.
Yes.
That's the reason I know I'm saved. God gave us His Word.
Right.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
I'm talking about He gave us His written Word. He gave us the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And then He promised us if we would come to Him in faith, believing that He would save us. And that's God's Word.
Right.
And you know what my daddy used to tell me when I was a boy? He'd say, "Your Word is your bond."
Right.
He said, "A man's only as good as his Word."
Right.
He told us, me and my brothers, when we were still boys, He said, "If you ever borrow some money or if you ever buy something from somebody on credit, and if you find yourself in a point that you can't make your payment," He said, "you go to that man and talk to him."
Right.
"Don't wait for him to have to come to you. You go to him." And He said, "usually he'll work with you."
Right.
But He said, "you've given your word." And to my dad, He let us know that it did not matter whether it was written down in a contract or whether it had been a handshake or there had been a word of mouth.
Right.
My dad said to us, he said to me anyway, and I know that he did to my brother. He said, "When I die," he said, "if I owe anybody anything," he said, "you take my billfold and you look." And he showed me one time. And he said, "you look right there." And he said, "if I owe anybody anything," he said, "it'll be written down." And when he died, we went through his billfold. He had just a month or so before had one of the neighbors to fill his barn with bales of hay. And my mom didn't have any idea about the arrangements that was made, nor did anyone else. But when we opened his billfold and we looked in there, he had bought 500 bales of hay. He had paid for 100 of them, and he told how much that he had given for the hay per bale. My brother went, he was a good friend to this neighbor, and he went to the neighbor and he said, "that hay you put in Daddy's barn," he said, "does Daddy owe you anything on that?" And he said, "well, I would never have said anything, but he said he paid me for 100 bales of it. And we paid him for the 400. Just like Daddy had said he wanted to." Why? He was an honest. He gave his word. He gave his word. And if it had been the last monies that he had, we'd have done our best to have paid that bill. If we'd had to borrow the money, we'd have paid that bill because His Word was given.
Right.
He didn't know it was written down anywhere. He didn't know that Daddy had that in there. Daddy didn't wait for him to keep the account. Daddy kept an account.
Right.
And we found out it was an accurate account. Amen. And I'll tell you today, though, my daddy was not God.
Right.
Although he kept his word. Things could happen that Daddy could have failed to keep his word, but not God.
Amen.
God is not, He don't just tell the truth, He is truth.
Amen.
And I don't know whether you ever thought about this or not, but that does not just mean that God's word's true and that God is true. That means that the Word of God is the standard.
Right.
It's the truth.
Right.
It's what you measure truth by.
Right.
Whether you tell whether it's truth or falseness is measured by the Word of God.
Amen.
I've given this illustration at other places, and some of you may have even heard this, but I want to give it again. Back in about 95, somewhere along there, I met Brother Tim and Miss Barbara McCatton. They've been here. And because I know they told me that they came by here with the truck broke down and the church gave them an offering. But they've been in missions helps for a number of years. And they've helped me on I believe 5 buildings or 6 buildings or something as in church planting. And then we've helped in other places, he and I together. And anyway, we were working on the first building that we put a church into in Kansas. I believe Brother Bale has been there to Washington, and we was working out there, and we was kind of into the finishing part. And one of us was up on the ladder, and I've forgotten which was which now, but one was the cut man and the other one was the measuring man. And whichever one it was, we had both of us had 25-foot Stanley measuring tapes. They looked exactly alike, if you know what I'm saying. And so whichever one was doing the measure, they would pull it across there, and we was doing some windows, and we might say 26 and 5/16. The other one down there, pull his tape measure across that finished board, 26 and 5/16, mark it, put it in the miter saw, cut it, and hand it up. And it was too short. And about 3 times we done that on the same window. And we knew by then there's something wrong. And Brother Tim come up with the idea, and he took the 2 tape measures, and he looked at them. And one of them, the end of that little thing that hangs down there that catches over the end, one of those had gotten bent until that the measurements, when you pulled it out here, 26 and 5/16 or whatever, they looked the same, but they was off an eighth of an inch. And boy, I told Brother Tim right then, I said, God may have allowed us to ruin these boards just so I'd have a good illustration. He was not a preacher at that time. But I said, the Word of God's the standard.
Amen.
And you measure by that. Others may look like the same,
yeah,
but if if they're the same, they are the same. If they're not, they'll be off just a little bit.
Right.
And some of them, but listen, what if you was going a long distance? Further you go, further off you get.
Yep.
And such as that. If you're measuring out there, you're going to be off. In a little while, you're going to be off an inch. And next thing you know, you'll be off more.
Right.
It just don't get any better.
Right.
And so you better have the standard.
Amen.
You better have the Word of God.
Amen.
You better have the one that's the truth.
Amen.
And I personally believe that we have it in the authorized version that many times we call the King James Bible.
Amen.
I believe it's the preserved Word of God for English-speaking people today.
Amen.
And I believe you can tell truth and error by looking at the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, having said that, I've got 3 things I want to give you, and we'll go to the house or wherever we're going. First of all, the Word of God makes a difference in your future. The Word of God can make a difference in your future. If you look at the book of the book of Luke, And you look at chapter 23, you'll find out that the Word of God makes a difference. It made a difference in a reviling sinner who rejected the Word of God. As Jesus hung on the cross, you know the story. You know how that on one side and on the other side was two malefactors.
Right.
You know that they were sinners. You know that they were criminals.
Right.
And as they hung there, one of them, in verse 39, the Bible says, and one of the malefactors, which was hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. You notice that the scripture says that he railed on him. He was ridiculing Jesus, if you will. He did not for one minute believe that he was who the accusation that had been put up there. And that's actually what it was. You know, when it said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, that was the accusation that Pilate said. They said that he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate didn't put it up there that he's any kind of criminal. He just put that title up there, which was his accusation. That's what he was being crucified for. That's what he had been accused of.
Amen.
Guilty.
Amen.
Guilty. My friends, today that one looked over, he didn't believe a word of it.
Right.
And he said, if thou be the Christ, questioning it, he did not believe it. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And listen, that was Satan's way of trying to get Jesus to come down off the cross.
Right.
I want to tell you today, all of the mocking, all of the cursing, all of the spitting, all of the reviling, all of the railing, all of the accusations that was made about Jesus that day, none of it enticed him to come down off of the cross. The very idea that he could make himself known as the cross, I mean, as the Savior, or as the Christ, in other words, that he could do that by coming down off of the cross. Don't you think some would have thought something if he'd have just pulled that hand loose, pulled that other one loose, pull that foot loose, pull the other one off of the spike, and just step down and reached up and helped those down. He could have saved their lives that way. But he could not have saved their soul. God was not through with him. God had not burned his wrath out upon the lovely Son of God. At that time, sin was so vile that Jesus had to drink it all.
Yes,
he had to pay it all. And so he hung there on the cross as God poured the wrath of sin that was against those sinners and against you and I. He hung there on the cross until God was completely, totally, and forever satisfied with the payment of sin. Where man would never have to pay for his sin if he had trusted Jesus as his personal Savior. And here's the difference that the Word of God made. That sinner said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And then you go on and look at the scripture. And the Bible said, but the other answered. Answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? He's talking to the thief on the cross. One thief talking to the other. Dost thou not fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation. And he said, and we indeed justly. He said, you're just like I am.
Yeah.
Don't you fear God? You're a sinner like I am. Amen. And he said, what we're receiving, We're receiving the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And the verse 42 says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus' answer unto him was, verily I say unto thee, truly I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So I see here one sinner rejecting the Word of God. We might say one railing sinner or one reviling sinner, and he rejected the Word of God. But oh, what a difference the Word of God can make. The other man said, we deserve this. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember, he sees Jesus dying, hanging on a cross. He don't see him as a general leading his army. He don't see him in a situation to where that he can have a kingdom. But he says, Lord, remember me. You can read into that the belief that he knew, although Jesus is dying, he's going to live.
Amen.
He is going to be a king over a kingdom.
Amen.
And he just said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Amen.
And Jesus, I believe, said more to him than the thief would have ever thought was possible. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I heard a preacher preaching one time, and he said when he got saved, he said, the only thing I knew was that I was not going to hell. My sins, he said, I didn't even know that there was a heaven. He said, all I knew is God had saved me from my sins.
Amen.
And he said, when I found out that I was going to heaven on top of that, he said, I began to shout and haven't stopped shouting since.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how much of that was truth and how much of that was just preached, but I'm telling you today that how wonderful it is as we learn more of the Word of God.
Amen.
And as we look into truths, and as we look into that truth, and all of a sudden, we thought we had come to the end. And all of a sudden, you get there, and there's another universe beyond, Joshua.
Yeah.
And we look on. That's the way that thing we were studying on the other day over your house. I mean, it's like I thought I pretty well had all of that, but there's universes, I believe, yet in the Word of God,
Amen.
Yet to be tapped as we continue to study the Word of God. Even as Brother Doug was talking about the sun and how that there was light before the sun, and then about there's light that gives off, that is the source of light, and then there's that is reflected light, and all of these things. And my friends, today, how wonderful the Word of God is as we study it, and it just grows, and it gets bigger and bigger as we go along. And my friends, today, thank God, there's a difference. Which side of the cross are you on? Are you on the cross where you're still saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us? Are you still just thinking about the present world? Or are you like that repentant thief on the other side? One was a railing thief and the other was a repentant thief.
Amen.
And he cried out to God. And that ought to teach anybody to know that salvation could not be in baptism.
Right.
Salvation could not be in good works.
Right.
Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Well, the Word of God can make a difference in your life. The Word of God can make a difference in your fight. The Word of God can make a difference in your fight. Let me show you two men one day from the Word of God. I'll tell you, one of them was a man. I was talking to the young man back here, 15 years old, already 6 foot 4 inches tall. And such as that, I said, one of these days, he's going to be a boy. And then I laughed and said, a man. But he looks like a man already. But here's the thing. There's a difference. Not all of the young men 15 years old is the size of that young man. But here's a scripture where that there was a big man. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, as we go there and read a little bit, and most of you already know about the story, but as we look at this and think about it for just a little while, I want to show you the difference that the God of the Word made in these two men's life. One of them was just a lad, just a boy. Some says that he probably was somewhere around 15 years old or something like that. But I don't believe he was as big and strapping as this young man in the congregation tonight is. But as I read about this one that has come out and defied the armies of Israel, and chapter 17. I want to read just one verse, but we go along. I'll read some more. Verse 47, the Bible says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hand." This is what David, the shepherd boy, said. Here's a shepherd boy, that trusted in the God of the Word.
Amen.
He had already proved him as a young man when he was back in the wilderness taking care of his father's sheep. Well, the story goes in verse 17 of the same chapter that David's father Jesse says to his son, "Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." And so verse 20 tells us that David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. They are headed out, and David runs among the ranks and runs to his brothers. And he, as he talked with them, the Bible says that there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they heard the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." So now we're looking at this, and as we see it, the entire army. And let me tell you something. This is not the dregs of the army.
Right.
This is not people that normally have fear in their hearts. These are men, if you study this, these are some that later are the king's very ones that are the mighty men of Israel. And here they are. And they're all afraid of this great champion. Now, Saul is a big man. He's head above shoulders over all that in Israel. So, I don't know how, maybe Saul himself was 7 feet, might have been 7'6". I don't know. But he was taller than all of the people of Israel. But here is Goliath. Goliath, if Saul had been 7 feet tall, Goliath would have been 2.5 feet higher, taller. What do you think? Y'all look at me. Is from my hand up, is that about 2.5 feet? You think I need to move my hand down or up? What do you think? Somebody tell me. Down? Now you think that's 2.5 feet? Does that look about 2.5 feet? All right. One of you're the biggest one. Come up here just a minute. Come here just a minute. Yes, sir. I don't know your name. I apologize. Well, I'll be doggone if I ain't just about 2.5 feet taller than you. Not hardly. You go sit down. You come up here, son. Yeah, look at that. There's a ruler. Run get that ruler right quick. Run get that tape measure. I call him ruler. Now let's see. You stand up right here. Stand right here. Let me have this. Wow. All right, let me do it like this. Here's a man. Now you can sit down, son. Here's a man. 9.5 feet is... If he just stood down there, his head to rub the ceiling. Pretty close. Take that back to Brother Hereford. Here's my point. I doubt David was 6 feet tall. But he's so much bigger, even Saul looks small. Right. Now I'm having these boys to stand up here, and I'm up on the platform, you see. But if Goliath had been standing down there, look where he'd been.
Yeah.
And so these fellas, none of them are taking his challenge.
Right.
Not even the king that's the biggest of the bunch. But yet David... If I could just tell you the story without reading it all, as you probably, most of you know it anyway, but if I can tell you the story in my own words, David said, "Who is that uncircumcised Philistine?"
Right.
Of course, his brothers think that he's a young upstart. Pardon me. He's a young upstart. Give that to my wife. He's a young upstart. He's come from back on the backside of the desert taking care of sheep. He don't know a thing in the world about fighting. We've been trained. We're ready. We know we're no match to him. And here's our youngest brother saying he'll fight against it. David said, "Is there not a cause?"
Right. Amen.
And then Saul said, "Boy, if you're going to go fight for us, if you're going to show yourself as our champion, at least you're going to have the best equipment that we've got. Take mine." And I can see him taking that. Come here to me. I can see him. Imagine now I'm Saul and this is David. And he's going to take that big coat of mail. He's going to take it off. And he's going to put it on David. Act like this is really heavy. He's putting it on him. I mean, it's heavy. Hold it up. You're going to fight with this, boy. Hold it up. I can imagine that happening. Can you not? And he gives David that big old sword that don't quite fit his hand.
Right.
Because Saul's a big man.
Yeah.
No doubt he's got big hands. And as a result of all of that, and David says, I can't use this equipment. I've not proved it.
Right.
I've not proved it. And he tells that them that he'll go against the giant. And he goes out there. And of course he takes his sling. And you see, there must have been a little creek, a little brook along there. He goes along and he picks up those five smooth stones. Now listen, I'm talking about the difference that the Word of God makes in your life. The giant's defying the God of the Word. Therefore, he would have defied the Word of God. But David is believing the Word of God, or the God of the Word. And David goes out there, and I don't think it took him a half an hour to pick out which one of those stones that he was getting. But have you ever thought how long God worked on those stones before David come along? How far that he may have rolled those stones on the others, grinding those down and wearing those down and smoothing those rough places out and getting them ready so it would be a good, round, solid, true. And when David slung that stone around in that sling and when he turned that thing loose, I heard somebody say it become the first godded missile.
Amen.
And there it hit the giant in the forehead and down he went.
Amen.
David didn't even have a sword. And he just took the downed champion's sword and cut his head off.
That's right.
And took it back to the king. Took it back to Israel.
Amen.
And God wrought a great victory that day. Why? Because David believed God.
Amen.
And when we believe the Word of God,
right,
we are believing God.
Amen.
And God will never fail. God will never let us lose the war if we'll put our trust in Him.
Amen.
The Bible describes God's Word as a sword.
Right.
The sword of the Spirit. It's a weapon that we can use to combat Satan and win the victory. So there was a shepherd that trusted the Word of God. There was a soldier that taunted the God of the Word. And my friends, he came down. I imagine David could have said, he didn't say this, but I imagine somebody said, David, don't you see how big that giant is? In David's belief, he could have said, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Amen. Thank God today, the Word of God and the God of the Word makes the difference in our lives. Now let me give you this one right quick and I'm finished. The Word of God can make a difference in your family.
Amen.
The Word of God can make a difference in your family. Genesis chapter 13, I'm just going to read you one verse and call your attention to it and hope that God will use it to the glory of God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, I know that Abraham and Lot are related. But as it comes down, they become two families. Us shepherds that are here tonight, we're the same family, but yet, in another sense, we are two families. Because my wife and I have a son, and then our son and his wife have a son. So although it's one extended family, they're two families. We live in two places. They live in Kentucky. My wife and I live in Kansas. Two families. And what I'm trying to do is make a point here. Abraham and Lot, all in the same verse, there's two families. And it tells about Abraham dwelling in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelled in the city of the plains. And I mentioned the other night that Lot looked out there and saw the well-watered plains. And they looked like the way down to Egypt. And Lot still had Egypt in his heart. But Abraham took what was left, and he took the land of Canaan. And you see, the difference was, Abraham was believing God. And believing God, God told him that wherever he put his foot was going to be his anyway. Abraham could have walked out through there and took all of those plains. But he chose not to. He let Lot have his pick. But here's a family that stood for God because they believed the Word of God. Abraham stood for God. Everywhere you see Abraham going and dwelling, you see him building altars.
Yes, sir.
Nowhere that Lot goes and lives do you see him building an altar. You don't even see him building an altar after he escaped the judgment of God in the cities of the plains when God destroyed them. No. But I want to tell you today that the difference was believing the Word of God.
Amen.
And over and over, you and I can point it out. You and I have lived long enough, most of us, until that we've seen families that chose to stay with God when the hard times came.
Yep.
And when things was not still going just like they wanted to, they stood with God.
Amen.
And then you see others.
Yes.
That the first little adversity that arises in their life, they'll fall out. It amazes me that sometimes it seems like that people get along better in bars than they do in churches.
Yes, sir.
It's a sad thing that people wear their feelings on their sleeves, so
yes,
to speak,
sir.
In the house of God. But I want to tell you today, the real Word of God makes a difference in the family that walks with God.
Amen.
And believes the Word of God. It'll come out. I mean, it'll be here one day. Now, let me tell you this story. To wind this thing down. I'm talking about the difference the Word of God makes. And I remind you, I need to go back to my text verse, and I want you to look at it with me. And very quickly, in Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, won't you look up here at me just a moment? I should have brought my flashlight. Somebody got a flashlight in your pocket? What if I had a light and I turn it on and I just shine it right there? How much good is it going to do me if there's no light else in here, no other light in here? How long is it going? How much good is it going to do me to walk down? There's two or three. Thank you. As little as that is, as little as that is, look at that. The Word of God. It don't take much light if there is no light.
Right.
We won't do this, but what if we turned all of the lights off in here? That happened one time. You remember that when you was a little boy? First church I was at, we was having revival. And the lights went out just as the preacher got to the pulpit. And he preached on three kinds of darkness. He said if any of the children get scared, said just take them out to the car where you can have a little bit of light. I set a candle here. And I set a candle on a I believe on the piano, and such as that. That's all the light we had. And he preached that whole message. And there's three candles wherever they're sitting. And as he come down to that last point, the last point in the message was outer darkness.
Yeah.
And he he blew those lights out. Dark as the insides of midnight.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he said, somebody light these lights so these people can see how to get to the altar. And I jumped up to light those lights. And before I could, the lights came on. A man sitting right back over there went, "Whoa!" Like that. And I believe everybody in the church rolled into the altar. It was an unusual, unusual service. But now he said about his word, right in the scriptures, he said, "Thy word, not somebody else's."
Right.
I want to remind you, it's God's word himself.
Amen.
Let me get back over here to it. God said, "I'm not saying this about anybody else's word. I'm not saying anything against anybody else's word." The psalmist just said, "I want to tell you God's word."
Yeah.
"Thy word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path."
Right.
Now, here's my illustration, my story from my young years in the mountains of North Carolina. My brother, 4 years older than myself, and I used to coon hunt. We always had some dogs. Those dogs wouldn't just run coons. They'd tree possums. They'd all kinds of, but we just loved to get out and ramble the woods. And all we had was a kerosene lantern. We didn't have a flashlight. We had a kerosene lantern when we started hunting. And if any of you knows about the old kerosene lantern, it'll just give a light out a little ways around you. I don't know. It's been so long, I don't know for sure, but maybe 20 feet across. But do you know, the reason we carried that lantern was in case there's a copperhead quiled up there, as we said. We didn't call it coiled, we said quiled. Quiled up there, ready to bite us, or a rattlesnake. We just carried that old lantern. One of us carried the lantern. The other would come along with it. And that lantern wouldn't shine out over 20 feet. I believe at the very most. But that lantern or that lamp was a lamp to my feet. It was a light unto my path. And I've walked untold miles with that lantern. That just shined that little bit. And it would take me all the way home.
Amen.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Amen.
And a light unto my path. I don't know where we're going from here, do you?
Right.
I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what later on tonight holds.
Right.
But I do know this. This word, if we'll follow its light, will lead us all the way home.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. I don't care where you are tonight. If you're out in the depths of sin, if you're still confused with the blindness that Satan's put in your life, if you'll run to the light, if you'll follow what light you've got,
Amen.
That light will take you by the way of the cross.
Amen.
And it'll take you all the way home.
Yes, sir.
Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet.
Amen.
Will you trust the word of God tonight for what you need in your life? Let's stand together. Your pastor's coming. Brother Doug's coming with an invitational hymn. Would you let God help you and put these scattered words together and let Him speak to your heart? If you're lost tonight, please flee to the light. Come to Jesus tonight. He'll lead you all the way home.
Amen.